from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all.
Jesus, you're worthy of it all. Everything we have, Lord God, belongs to you. We give it back, Lord God, that you would do with it what you will. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Come on, church. I know that we're expecting to get into the next section, but let's just stay here really quick and give the Lord some glory. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, because this is where we get our hearts right. This is where we get our hearts ready to receive the word. Lord God, we give you glory and honor. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, you are worthy. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are worthy. Hallelujah. As we transition into prayer, remember that we're taking our requests before a worthy God, before a God who loves us, who isn't untouched, who doesn't not care about our feelings, about our situations. He cares. Hallelujah. If you could remember Sister Joanne Reynolds, our First Lady Bishop, pray for healing in her leg. Pray for a speedy recovery in the name of Jesus. If you could also remember all of the babies in the church that are dealing with cancers, with illnesses, with any kind of infirmity, remember them as we pray. Remember our elders who are in need of strength, youthful strength, because we need them to pass down the wisdom. Hallelujah, God. If you could pray for strength in your own bodies, in your own hearts, in your own minds as we go in to prayer, because we can't make it without the Lord. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for just being here, for showing up, Lord God. We pray that you would have your way in every need, known and unknown. Jesus, we pray that you would touch, Lord God, Sister Joanne, that you would work a healing in her body in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you will remove any infection, that you will remove any redness, that you will work a complete and total speedy recovery in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray that you would touch the babies in the church, Lord God, that you will work healing in their bodies. Lord Jesus, we know that it is a testimony and we're just waiting to see it happen, Lord God. We pray that you will work a healing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we pray that you would Touch our elders, Lord God. Give them youthful strength in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for providing them to us, Lord God, and we pray that you would continue to keep them strong in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would move in every heart and in every mind, Lord Jesus, that every person that came in here today would leave strengthened in your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, that you would have your way in the teaching and in the preaching, that you would have your way in the fellowship, Lord God, that bonds would be formed, Lord God, between people that never expected them to be formed. Hallelujah, God. We pray, Jesus, that you would have your way in everything that goes on in this church this morning, Lord Jesus. Lead us and guide us in the name of Jesus, we pray. And we give you glory and we give you honor. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to call our pastor up for a baby dedication. Woo woo!
Amen, amen, amen. Good to be back home. Good to be back home. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. We have another special occasion that God has afforded us, and that is I'm going to ask if Brother and Sister Hassan would come to the front with their son. We're going to dedicate him to the Lord in Jesus' name. And just want you all to know that it's truly good to be home. I'll say it again. It's just good to be home. Amen. Such a beautiful occasion. Certainly good. We're going to dedicate this young man to the Lord. The parents will be dedicating themselves as well to a commitment to Toby today. And so the Bible says in Psalms 127, 3 and 5. Is it all right if I turn my back to you all so that you can see the family? I should have did that the last time. Come over here. Let's stand in the center. There we go. I feel better. So the Bible says in Psalms 127, 3 through 5, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As sorrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. If I was to paraphrase this verse, a son and a daughter is something inherited. And it's truly a blessing. Dedication is the practice of bringing the child into the presence of the Lord, very much like we are in right now, the presence of the Lord. What does it mean to present a child to the Lord in dedication? It is more than a ritual, more than a rite. It is even more significant than the physical dedicatory event we are able to see. Like all other events in the life of a believer, the true significance is spiritual. It's spiritual, yes. But more importantly, it joins a man and a woman in the eyes of God. They become born in all aspects of their very being. Likewise, repentance is not just kneeling at an altar and crying tears of sorrow. It is more significantly, a turning away from sin and turning our lives towards God. With repentance comes a commitment to the life for Him. Likewise, baptism is not just immersing someone in water so that the individual gets wet from head to toe. Through baptism, we are buried with Christ and His blood with all of its cleansing power, and it's applied on the scene of our lives. To present Toby, a child in dedication, to offer Toby Dominic Hassan to the Lord in consideration, observation, and protection. It is a commitment of the children's life, the purpose and plan of the Lord, and a pledge on behalf of the parents to raise Toby Dominic Hassan in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Scripture is Ephesians 6:4, raising him in the admonition of the Lord. We know Hannah's experience is a good example to consider when dedicating children to the Lord. When God gave her a son in answer to her many prayers, she gratefully responded and gave him back to the Lord. Knowing that your son is a blessing to you all, we're going to give him to the Lord. She placed him in the temple under the leadership of the high priest to live, learn, grow, and to be used for God's purpose. The Bible describes the results of her unselfish commitment allowed Samuel to become a prophet, a leader, and a preacher to his generation. Amen. Dedication is yielding a giving of the life and the future of the children, of our children, to God. And may you bring Toby Dominic Hassan into the house of God every chance so that he may learn to be faithful, to worship his Creator, your Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So that he'll know when to repent of his sins. So that he'll know that we all are born into sin and that we all have a sinful flesh and that we need Jesus every day of our lives. So do you Teo and Adelia, do you now present Toby Dominic Hassan before God as a solemn dedication? We do. All right, amen. Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up Toby Dominic Hassan in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Amen. Do you promise to instruct Toby Dominic Hassan in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer, and to guide Toby Dominic Hassan in development of a Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability to shape the home life of Toby, both by family devotion, by your words and your example, that Toby will be the proper age, mostly naturally, to come to an open confession of Christ and into the fellowship and service of the church? Amen. Now I'm going to charge you both again. Teo and Adeola Hassan, will you pledge to live as a role model before Toby Dominic Hassan, that he might see Christ in you? Make your home a little sanctuary to see that Toby is taken to church and taught godly principles, to pray for his salvation when Toby Dominic Hassan reaches that age of understanding, that you might be the one to urge him, to help him to navigate to God's altar and instill in Toby Dominic Hassan character and integrity. If you're willing to accept these charges, I ask you to say, I will. Amen. When I ask our ministers, Sister Tiana, and Sister Tammy in the house, Brother, okay, she's downstairs, Brother Reverend McNeil, Bishop, if you would come to the front right now. We want to pray a blessing over Toby Dominic Hassan, that he will become a great leader in the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
We pray for Toby right now. God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray a complete covering over Toby right now, that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would touch him, protect him, encamp your angels around him, watch over him and protect him in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray right now for Brother Hassan and Sister Hassan and their commitments right now before you and the church, that they're going to dedicate themselves as they have dedicated, Lord, this child to you, Lord God, that they will be committed to the house of the Lord, to raise Toby Dominic Hassan in the house of the Lord, to be reared in the kingdom of God, to know God about you, Lord Jesus, and to become one of your children, oh God. In Jesus' name, we pray blessings over their finances, blessings over their home, over their family right now. In Jesus' name, we pray many blessings over them, their income, their home, their health, oh God, their finances. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. Amen. Amen. Love you. God bless you, sis. God bless you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Our worship team. Sorry for the transition. We'll transition back into worship right now. Thank you. Yep.
Hallelujah.
We can all stand as we go back into praise and worship.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, with your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm out in the desert plains, though I walk the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing
you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is a strong tower that we can all run into. Amen. Certainly good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be home. I missed you. I truly missed you in Jesus' name. It was a good time of rest, good time at conference. Powerful move of God.
Amen.
And I truly feel refreshed from that conference. And not, I won't go any further, but I feel refreshed coming from this conference. And so just hold on, because I feel like I've got a direction that God is really going to take the church. You know, as God was dealing with me for All Nations Sunday, and let me say welcome. Welcome, everyone. Every nation, we welcome you to the house of the Lord. Certainly good. Amen, amen, amen. For me, it's a blessing to be able to serve you. Amen. I feel very blessed to be in a multicultural, all-nation type of church that we have everyone of every culture here. And it's a blessing to be in a house of the Lord like that. Amen. I believe that's what heaven's going to look like. Come on now. I don't believe there's going to be one color in heaven. I think all of us that are living right, acting right, talking right, amen, are going to be in heaven together. We're going to be running the streets of gold, the wall, and we're going to see the walls of jasper together. We're going to worship together. We're going to see each and every one of our family and friends that will be there. I feel today I want to encourage you on All Nations Sunday. I kind of tried to figure out how could I incorporate All Nations Sunday in a message. One of them had the scripture that they read up there, and I didn't use that one. I came to another one, and God, so I really want you to understand where the church is going. I'm going to need you. Every nationality, we're going to need you to do the work of the kingdom of God. Nehemiah, turn with me to Nehemiah 3, 1 through 5. The Bible says it's truly good. I can't tell you how glad I am to be home. Not that I didn't enjoy being with my wife, and it was really a good time in the Lord. Not only in conference, but just in rest and relaxation with her and I. Good time alone. I was able to go to church last Sunday before coming home, and it was a little North American Missions church, and so I felt very much at home. Amen. When I walked in there, I could feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very much like what I feel here today. And let me say this, a church that does not have the Holy Ghost and the presence of the Holy Ghost is a dead church. It is a dead church. But starting in verse 1, chapter 3, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zakur, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hassanah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And the next unto them repaired Meroth, the son of Uriah, the son of Koz, and next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berchariah, the son of Meshabel, excuse me. The next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. And next unto them, you getting a picture of this? And next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Turn with me, drop down to verse 27 through 32. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even unto the wall of Ophel. From above the horse gate repaired the priest, every one over against his house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zalaph, another piece. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against the chamber. After him repaired Malachiah, the goldsmith, son unto the place of the Nethinians, and of the merchants over against the gate Mifkad, and to the going up of the corner. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmith and the merchants. So if you can get a gist of what we just read, if I can paraphrase what I just read, not one person was repairing the wall or the gates. There was tribes that were coming together, and they were repairing and building and bringing things to the table. They were bringing gifts to the table. They were, and I'm not talking financial gifts. What I'm talking about, they were bringing their talents and doing what it took to build the wall. Nehemiah could not have done this alone. He needed everyone to pull together. And that's about what All Nations Sunday is about, us reaching all nations, all people, all cultures in Jesus' name. Every head bowed. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercies. We ask you, Lord God, to anoint my head and my lips. Your word is already anointed. God, help me to preach what you have given me, to minister to your people. In Jesus' name, I pray a blessing today over your word to flow into our ears and into our hearts, to be about the building of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Before I give you my title, let me say this. We will have food afterwards. Brother and Sister Hassan has brought food. Brother and Sister Contreras, I don't know, everybody else I'm sure has brought some food. We will have a good time of fellowship after church. Amen. And I'm grateful for all those that are online, all those that are here in person. It's good to have you. We will have another dedication next Sunday. Amen. It is good to dedicate our children and ourselves to the Lord. Amen. A lot of people do it, but they never stand behind their word. And so they think that the dedicating of the child is going to keep it. But the dedicating of the child requires a commitment from the parents to raise that child in the kingdom of God. So I'd like to talk to you today about one and all. One and all. Amen. We're one and we're all. Amen. We come together to worship. We come to lift up the name of Jesus. We come to thank him for all the goodness that he has bestowed upon us. But I ask you today, whose job is it? We often ask the question in an attempt to defuse responsibility, especially in regard to excusing ourselves from a specific task. We want to reduce our personal responsibilities for all sorts of efforts, allowing us to go through life without interrupting our lives by responding to issues which might delay us and distract us or cause us some kind of discomfort. Should that really be our first reaction in recognizing there is something that we need to address? Amen. That there is souls that are lost. Amen. And we all have someone that we are connected to that is lost. They may not be my brother or my sister in the flesh, but they are someone that needs Jesus. Amen. And they're lost, and they need us to share the gospel. They need us to be a part of of seeing them through growing in Christ and loving the Lord and understanding the Lord. And where do the limits of our responsibilities lie? I saw a video some time ago. A TV crew set up hidden cameras to watch customers walking through a shopping mall and walk by a recycled bottle, a recyclable bottle on the floor next to the recycle bin. They watch person after person walk by the bottle, some changing their path to avoid the bottle on the ground. Finally, a woman stopped long enough to pick up the bottle and place it in the recycle bin. Over 100 people then stood and applauded her, because that many people had watched people walk past something that could have been picked up and put in the right place, but was just ignoring it. I ask you today, how many of us has walked past someone that needed to hear about the goodness of God? We said, they may not connect to me. I may not be of their nationality, or I may not be able to communicate with them. Hear me when I say, we need some folks that will stop and pick up the bottle. We need some folks that will stop and recognize somebody that needs Jesus. We need some folks that are willing to take just a few minutes out of your day and talk about the goodness of God.
Think of it. Help us, Lord.
We are seeing my neighbor that lived across from Brother McCauley and lived three houses down from me. It's been 7 weeks. 2 weeks ago, he now has received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Because we did not stop. Right? We didn't stop going over and saying, hey, we just want you to know about the goodness of God. We have shared the gospel in the neighborhood. We're not going to stop sharing the gospel. We want you to know that there needs to be a place that you go and share with people. Amen. One and all. So she was one of very few individuals who took the time to notice something small that needed to be done and assume the responsibility and took care of it. Uncomfortably and unfortunately, that is not the common occurrence. The job before the people of Jerusalem was no minor task. Nehemiah had no thought that he would be able to handle it on his own. It would have taken an exceedingly long time for one man to do what many people did. Amen. Right now, the Thompsons are set up to teach discipleship. Pretty soon, the Brits will be set up to teach discipleship. Pretty soon, the Sutherlands will be set up to teach discipleship. Why? Because the pastor can't do it all by himself. We need everybody to be a part of the ministry. We need everybody to get involved. Amen. We need everybody to do the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. We're one and all. He knew it would require a team effort. Listen, this church cannot grow without the team effort. Without all of us being a part of this, the church cannot grow. Now, God could do all kinds of things, but I'm not looking for God to send people. I'm looking for God to send, let me try to spell it out to you. I'm not looking for church plants. I'm looking for sinners. Souls that once they are filled with the Holy Ghost, they are so entrenched, so excited. My neighbor, he has contacted me almost every week saying, man, this is awesome. I wish I'd have gotten in this a long time ago. I wish I could have found a Pentecostal when I was in the Army. He said, I didn't know that it could be this good. I didn't know that I could experience joy like I'm experiencing. I didn't know that I could be delivered of the things that I've been delivered of, alcohol. I've been delivered of pornography, he said. I've been delivered of the sickness and the affliction of being raped and molested. He said, I didn't know that Jesus could do that. That was only because someone went to them and shared the word of God with them and what God did for them. I'm not bragging about us. What I'm trying to tell you is all you have to do is share something with someone. Amen. And I know that I can't do this alone. He never once spoke to the people of his accomplishing the task at hand. Instead, it was a question of the population as who, as a whole, assuming responsibility for the project at hand. Once the people were on board with the project at hand, they divided up the work in sections. We need people that are willing to learn how to pray with people at the altar. We need people that are willing to work in sound booth and learn sound booth. We need people that are willing to line up and do things and be in ministry. There is a high calling. Not everybody can be in ministry, and I'm sorry. I know that sounds bad, but there's some requirements to be in ministry. And I'm willing to talk to you about what them requirements are. Some of it's biblical, some of it's just keeping ourselves balanced. Amen. What keeps me balanced? Amen. What keeps me aligned with staying in the boundaries of Jesus Christ so that I don't wander outside the lines, that I don't get confused at what I'm doing in the kingdom of God, right? I've got to have something. You know, there's a reason there's lines on the road. So you know what your lane is. And now they put bump little things that vibrate when you go over the line, so you know you're not in your lane no more. You've done wandered out of your lane. You know, sometimes Jesus has to give us some patting on and get us back in the lane. And that's what the shepherd is here to do, is to get you back on course, to get you back inside the lines so that we can move forward and grow. I love the church. I love the people that are here, but we've got to reach outside these four walls. We cannot be content with just our four and no more. We've got to be consistently reaching outside the four walls. We need to speak to everybody.
All right. Help us.
Each section of the wall would be worked on by those who lived or worked closest to that section. The commoners, the tradesmen, the priests, the Levites, all had a hand in the process. It was a project to benefit the entire population and a task that would require that the entire population participate. Let me say something. When we participate, what we're doing, we are helping society. Right? Because we're pulling people out of hell. We're witnessing the people that are on their way to hell. We're witnessing the people that are on the way to suicide. We're witnessing the people that have broken marriages and broken relationships, that have children that are not living for God. We're witnessing to people that are sick, that need Jesus, that need healing, need deliverance, need... they need the Lord. Amen. And the only way they're going to see Jesus is they must see Jesus through us. Yeah. When you look in the mirror, if you have a relationship with God, you should be able to see Jesus. You should be able to see Jesus, right? And when you see color or different nationalities or different nations, that you, when you see them, you smile. Man, I love you. How are you today? I love you. It's good to see you today. Great to have you. Great to see you. Right? Without Jesus, I can't say I love you. You know, my wife, she said, you love everybody. You love people you don't even know. I said, well, they haven't heard nobody tell them they love them. They've been loved. Amen. I said, and if we're to be Christ-like, amen. Hello. He said, I love you. Amen. What better way could he say I loved you? Amen. But by going to a cross, amen. Allowing men to nail him there, amen. For my sins and your sins. Amen. How much more love does, and he didn't say, oh, this is only for the Jews. At first it was only for the Jews. But then the Jews would not worship him and no serve him, didn't know who he, they just didn't get it, that he is the Messiah. But when they rejected him, then he engrafted all nations in there, which allowed all of us to become one with him. That's why we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be sharing the gospel with every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every child, every nation that we come in contact with. We should be sharing it with everyone. It don't matter. You know, I mean, there's some people that just won't look at you. I just smile. You ain't hating me. You're hating Jesus. But what you see is Jesus. I'm not calling myself Jesus Christ, but what the Bible says is we become like Christ. We are made in His what?
Image.
So when I walk down the street, I'm walking as Jesus. I'm walking in boldness. I'm walking in faith. I have the faith that people can be healed. I have the faith that people can be delivered. I have the faith that God is able to fix a marriage that's broken. I have faith that God is able to deliver a drug addict. I have faith that God is able to deliver the alcoholic. I have faith that God can heal a person of any sickness, any disease. I have faith that God is able. I have faith that whatever it is, we sang it today, He can do anything. God can do anything. But do you believe the Word of God? If you believe the Word, if you believe. No Bible? Thank you. If you believe the Word of God, truly believe. Sorry. Man, this is hard to fool with here. But if you truly believe that this is the Word of God, do you believe this is the Word? Do you believe that He went to the cross and died for mankind? Do you believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection? Do you believe that? Do you believe that He did it because He loved all of mankind that much that He went there to die for you and I? If you believe that, and then you believe the rest of the Word of God, that it's the death, burial, and resurrection is a type and shadow of the of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. If you believe that, then you ought to be sharing the gospel. You need to talk about the cross. You need to talk about the blood. You need to talk about the goodness of God. You need to talk about what God's done for you. I don't care if you've never been an alcoholic. I don't care if you've ever smoked dope. I don't care if you've ever done crack, cocaine, or anything like that. I don't care. You need to talk about what God has done. You need to brag about the one that's done the work. Amen. Only Jesus can do me like He done me. Only Jesus can lead me like He's led me and love me. Nobody can love me like my Lord. My wife puts up with me, but nobody can love me like Jesus. Hear me. His love is enduring. His grace and His mercy, it just keeps going. It keeps giving. It don't stop. We stop at our love and mercy and grace, right? You just reach the threshold. You're done. I don't want to see you no more. When I look, I don't want to see you on the horizon. But when God's grace and mercy goes, you can fall, you can stumble, you can lie, you can cheat, you can steal, and then ask for forgiveness, and He says, "That's my child. That's my child." But you got to be willing to forgive. Ask God for forgiveness. You got to be willing to repent. Like we talked about in Brother and Sister Hassan's dedication, we got to raise up our children to know repentance is real. Know that when you sin or you fall or you fail God, that you can go back to the altar and ask God to forgive you. And it's not just a church altar. It can be at a chair, a pew. It can be in your bedroom closet. It can be sitting in the car driving down the road going, "God, forgive me of all my sin. Forgive me of what I've done. Forgive me of what I said. Forgive me of the way I just looked at that person." Sometimes my face tells the story. Ain't that right? My son said, "Yep." I am an open book. I haven't been able, I'm not a card player, so you know, if I got a good hand, I'm like, whoo! Joy unspeakable. So I, you know, they all gang up on me by that time because you done. They know, he got a good hand. I don't play poker. Let me correct that. Bishop just said something I don't do. I do not play poker. Pinochle, Uno, spades, hearts, things like that. And not for money. Make sure y'all know that. Not for money, just for fun. I mean, Christians can have fun. As long as you do it right. Got to have some holiness in there. You got to do things right, right? No, no gambling. No, I don't gamble. But I don't know how to hide that I got a good hand. I don't know how to do that. But we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be about sharing the gospel. You know, we can walk around and we can walk and, you know, I smile at people. People, I'll keep looking at you too. If you're walking my way, I'm constantly looking at you. I'm hoping that you make eye contact so I can say, hey, how are you today? Even if I pass. All I'm doing is saying, hey, how are you? I want them to see Jesus. Right? I want them to experience the power and the glory. You know, when you walk into a place and someone says, oh, there's something different about you. That tells you you're walking with Jesus. That tells you that, oh, they're getting to experience Jesus right now. You might just want to take a gander one more time. Well, how are you today? Right? So they can experience a little more of Jesus. Amen. We get, I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I'm waiting to catch eye. Oh. Sometimes they just look off so I can't say hey. Right? My flesh says I want to get a little more over in here. I want them to see me. Right? But then I say, oh no, that's not Jesus, right? That's not Jesus. That's not the way Jesus was at. I mean, they had the opportunity. When I made eye contact, they had the opportunity to meet Jesus. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to pray so that we have the aura of God, that we have the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost, that wherever we go, we could walk. Well, I don't advertise this and I don't promote this. I want to make sure you know what I'm saying. But if I was to walk into a bar, the light of the Holy Ghost would be so bright, people'd be wanting to get sunglasses. They'd be like, oh, wait a minute, give me some Coke. You know, give me some soda. Give me some water. Get that. That's how I feel. I feel that if you really are prayed up, Holy Ghost filled, and you walk in, and I don't go into bars. I know there's many of people said you should go in a bar and try to win souls. I don't believe in that. You know, the bar says it's wine and spirits. So you're battling spirits when you go in a bar. That's all you're doing. They tell you, they advertise, you're coming to drink some spirits. Right, we need to understand. I don't. There are places to go to be winning souls, and this bar is not the one. But if I did, I feel like I could walk in there and be powerful enough with the Holy Ghost that my spirit of the Holy Ghost would go just like a light. How many have walked into a situation with people, and it's aggressive? Things are going crazy, and as soon as you walk in, phone. That's because the Holy Ghost comes with you. Amen. There is a calmness with the Holy Ghost. There is a spirit that follows you through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost just follows you in, and when you walk into that situation, everything starts to calm down. We need to be about our Father's business. Every nation here represented. We have we don't have every nation represented in the church, but we have different nations represented right here, right now. But if we lived next to someone from China or Japan, okay, thank you, right? That we didn't go, someone I can't witness to, but that we would witness to them. Lord, they need Jesus, right? You don't know who they serve. You don't know if they're serving Buddha. You don't know who all they're serving. So you've got to be willing to witness to them. You've got to be willing to talk to them about the goodness of God, the God that loves them, the God that went to, you know, that sent his son to the cross. Try to reel myself back in here. So it's kind of a who's who for the period of Jewish history, like a bronze plaque listing the name of those who have contributed the charity and the work to the walls, right? The difference being, these were not simply monetary donations. They were donations of blood, sweat, effort, and tears. They were people who struggled to accomplish a task far out of their ordinary functions in the economic and social circles of Jerusalem. I don't know how many of you have ever laid brick. I got to experience that at 9, I think. I was about 9. Was I 9? No. Yeah. Somewhere there. So our bishop and my uncle and many of the members back then laid the brick of this church on the block, did the electrical work and did everything in the church. They offered at night. They came here and worked nights and weekends to give their time, to give of their sweat, to give of their giftings to build this church. Amen. This church, we have a building because people were attending here, helped build this church. Amen. And yes, it required much time. It required long hours. It required monetary money that they could have probably made working extra hours on their job, but they came to work the kingdom of God, to build the kingdom, to have a house here for church people to come together and come together, right? But such was the case with Nehemiah and in Jesus' day. In fact, the term used for Jesus' father's occupation in the book of Luke, tecton, is not best translated as carpenter, but as laborer. We like to call him the carpenter, son, but he was just a laborer. He would have been a non-specialized laborer who might work the fields one day and build a wall or a fence the next day. The skills required were learned on the job, much like wilderness survival skills, in which a pioneer in the American West often learned to build his own cabin regardless of his more specializing training or occupation. For rebuilding the Jerusalem walls, Nehemiah's work crew included a perfumer, goldsmith, priest, Levites, and a district ruler and a group of merchants. They stepped out of their comfort zone to accomplish a mission that required all of them to participate as they could. To do that, they had to set aside their preconceptions of each one's different value in the social and the economic order that was there. They had to accept that this task was far for all of them, and it would require a full participation. We have to understand that it's going to take full participation for souls to be saved. It's going to take full participation for Bible studies to be given. It's going to take full participation for all of us to witness, to be witnessing every day, sharing the gospel. They belonged to a town several miles away. They were going to work in a town that did not even belong to them. It was not even their area, but they were witnessing where they were. They were working in areas where that did not benefit them right at that time, but they were working to build the walls. While others from their town went to assist in the rebuilding of the wall, the elders remained behind. In Jerusalem itself, however, such was not the case. The entire population of Jerusalem, as well as people living within this sphere and influence, bent their backs to the task. So you say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we need everyone to be about our Father's business. We need everyone to be a part of reaching souls. We need everyone to start thinking, what are my giftings? Can I pray with people in the altar? Am I able to teach a Bible study? Am I able to be an usher? Am I able to learn how to work in sound booth? Am I able to learn how to be something in the kingdom of God? The job was not without difficulty. It was not without conflict from those who opposed the wall's construction and profited by Jerusalem's lack of security. You see, there's going to be people that won't want you to be in ministry. And there will be people that want in ministry that can't get into ministry. And you're going to get in ministry. They're not going to want you to be there. So it's going to be a struggle to be in ministry, to be a part of the ministry. Gathering enough food for survival was a task that required time, effort, and determination. Clothing a family was a labor-intensive affair. Cooking required gathering fuel for the fire. Water had to be brought home by hand. This was not life of luxury, of easy access to water, fuel, and the resources that were often taken for granted, that we take for granted. It would require them to give of themselves in unexpected, unitried, and unproven ways. That's unified and unproven ways. They had to do what they felt ill-equipped to do. They were working on a task that would require extreme commitment, plenty of discomfort, and abundance of turmoil every day of their life. Priests, laborers, goldsmiths, merchants, and farmers all came together for a common goal. My Bible tells me, I don't know how many are listening to my wife teach about revelations. But I was talking to Brother with Reverend McNeil and Sister McNeil yesterday. And probably never, and I've read Revelations, probably never has it ever affected me like it has affected me now. Knowing that we've taken time to break it down, and really start talking about what's going to happen after the church is raptured. Those that know about the Lord, those that have been taught about the Lord, those that have been raised in the house of the Lord, that did not make it in the rapture, what is actually, they're going to have to endure. It'll be difficult to gather food without taking the mark of the beast. It'll be difficult to get any medical treatment without the mark of the beast. It'll be difficult to survive with children without the mark of the beast. We say we can't, we find it difficult to serve God today. But I can tell you, if you're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade, if you're not going to be able to get gas, if you're not going to be able to keep your children warm, you're not going to be able to feed your children and feed your wife and keep your home. Because first of all, they're going to come to your home. You won't have a place of sanctity. There won't be a place to hide. There won't be a place to go to get away from them. You know, I remember back in the day, I said, I'm going to go to the mountain. I'm just going to run to the mountain. I'm running. I'm heading to West Virginia Mountains or somewhere up there, Blue Ridge Mountain. I'm going up to the mountain. I'm getting away. I'll try to figure out how to kill animals, and then you can't buy no ammunition. So then you got to be, you got to figure out how to live primitive. And there is no YouTube anymore. Because as soon as you turn your phone on, they're going to connect you. Deep, deep. He's right here at this grid. GPS, go get him. Right? So there is no way, if you don't learn, I don't want to be here. I'm not even going to worry about being primitive. I'm just going up with Jesus. But I feel sorry for those that say, well, you know, I'm not ready to give my life to God. I don't even feel like getting up on Sunday and coming to the house of the Lord. Matter of fact, Sunday's my only day off. I'm just going to sleep in. So you're sleeping yourself straight. You said it. Out of the mouth, the heart speaketh. You're sleeping yourself right into hell. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves. We need to hear the word of God. We need to know that Jesus is coming back. We need to know that we need to be about our Father's business. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. There's a reason that's in the Bible. If it wasn't that it was wise to win souls, he would have just not put it in there. There is a grading that's going to go on, that's going to take place. If I'm not witnessing, if I'm not trying to win souls, if I'm not, God's going to say, well, man, what did you do? Well, I served you, brother. I served you. Didn't you see me up there every Sunday? I was preaching to your people. I was doing what I'm supposed to. I witnessed the people. I mean, was it convenient to witness, or did you see the bottle on the ground and just decide you were in too much of a hurry to pick the bottle up? Well, God, you know, sometimes I was doing your work. You know, I just didn't have time. But let me tell you about the walls. The walls provide security. They provide defense. They would provide a deterrent against invaders. Listen. The security would allow economic and social benefits to the entire population. Let me tell you what you're doing when you're witnessing the people. You're helping them to secure eternal life. Security, eternal life in Christ Jesus. When they are baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking an unknown language, they are laying up treasures in heaven. But there was surely an excess of sore muscles. There'll be plenty of excess of tired people if we are going to do the Lord's work. I'm sure that our tempers will flare. I'm sure that anxiety will soar just like it did when they were building the wall. You know, the extent of the task at hand disheartened many from the very beginning. It was hard to note progress with the scope of the task. Listen, there's a lot of things that we look at and say it's just daunting. It's no way we can achieve it. Right now, I'm telling you, this church could double in the last, what are we at? We're in October, November, December, January. Actually, in 2 months, you could double if we really went after it hard. And I'm not saying I want to do that, because I need to make sure we got enough Bible study teachers, enough people that are willing to disciple people, because you just can't pray people through to the Holy Ghost and then toss them to the pew. They need somebody to be beside them. They need somebody to nurture them. They're a baby in Christ Jesus. And if you're not staying connected to them, then in closing, one and all, we need to be about our Father's business. We are blessed. We are a blessed church to have all the many nations that are represented here today. I'm asking you to help us reach together. I'm asking you to help us to reach, teach, and send. I believe God has great things in store for Grace Gospel. We need to proclaim the Word of God. In Matthew 11:5, it said, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and their deaf ears, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. We need to be the ones doing that. We need to have enough faith. We need to believe the Word of God. I was in one of the seminars there, and you know, for many of us, we worry about praying for someone. And the Bible didn't say that it had to be a priest, didn't say it had to be an elder, didn't say that they had to be a teacher, a prophet. God said, when these signs shall follow them that believe, He gave that to all nations, all people, right? There's no gifting different in me that's the same gifting you have. Now, there are talents that are different, but giftings, God gives us all giftings, and we need to be willing to use those giftings, right? I'll ask somebody, if I know they're in the church, I'll just say, you pray for me? I'm not looking for the pastor. I'm not looking for the preacher. I'm not looking for the prophet. I'm not looking for no evangelist. If I know you, you're walking with Jesus Christ, I'm going to say, lay your hands on me. I need you to pray for me. Because the same faith. And here's the problem why people don't want to be labeled to pray for people. Because they're like, well, what if God don't do it? Well, you're not the one that brings the healing. So when you go pray for someone, you're only doing what the Word of God said do. God makes the choice of whether or not they heal. Right? The Lord makes that decision. My job and my responsibility is to have enough faith that when I pray for them, God can heal them. Because God's word said, lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. I need to do what the Father has called me to do. I need to do the will of the Father. I need not be, then we say, well, what? I want you to pray with so-and-so to get the Holy Ghost. I don't really pray well with people who get the Holy Ghost. And what if they don't get the Holy Ghost? Do what you know to do. Pray with them. Jesus fills them with the Holy Ghost. I don't bring the Holy Ghost. I can't pour it into them. I can't touch it into them. I can't. I like to. It'd be great to be able to do all those things, right? I'm going to pour healing in you. I'm going to pour Holy Ghost in you. I'm going to pour giftings in you. I can't do that.
Amen.
Say that again.
Plant the seed and let him water it.
Plant the seed and let him water it. Out of my mouth of mother. Amen. We need to be about our Father's business. I know this is, I'm trying to encourage you that we all have a responsibility to the kingdom of God. We are to share the gospel and encourage the lost. We are to, God has called us to embrace and embody the grace that He has bestowed on us, the mercy, the forgiveness, and love, and that's what we are to show to everyone. Let me say this. There are people that I know and that I love very much that don't live the way they should live. And I know they don't. I know their lifestyles. I know what they say they do, how they live. I know. But I still love the person. I don't love the person. I don't love what they do, but I love them. When I see them, I don't go straight to talking about what they're doing. I go straight to love. Why? Because God told me I'm supposed to love. I go to hugging them, right? I want them to know I love them. I want them to know that I care about them. And more than anything, the love of Jesus will begin to deal with their hearts. Somewhere along the line, Jesus is going to deal with their hearts. Somewhere along the line, Jesus is going to deal with their soul. Somewhere along the line, they're going to wake up in the middle of the night because I'm calling their name out, and they're going to be tormented for the lifestyle they're living. They're not going to, and the only way they're going to have any peace from it is to get to the house of the Lord, where there are praying people that believe in the Holy Ghost, that believe in the flow of the Holy Ghost, believe in deliverance. That goes for alcohol, that goes for cigarettes, that goes for pornography, that goes for all the other. Right? It goes for all of that. So I guess as you stand, I want to ask you, are you really and ready and willing? Because this is not for the faint heart. It is not for those who are afraid of breaking a few nails, getting dirt under your nails, winning someone to the Lord and that person turning their back on God and going right back out. It will happen. You'll witness to somebody. They will come in and they will get saved and then they'll leave. And you're going to feel heartbroken. You're going to feel like you can't go back out and share anymore with someone else. But you have to understand, they've not left you. And they haven't left this church. They left Jesus. They left the very one that loved them more than we could love them. They left the one that gave more than we could ever give. They left the one that could love them like no other daddy could love them. They left the one that was willing to give his life on Calvary before they even thought of him being their Savior. They didn't leave us. They left him. But we are responsible to be the one that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. Day in and day out, no matter what the outcome is, it's our responsibility. It is our responsibility to be loving to people, regardless of how they treat us, regardless of how they act towards us. Regardless if they stop and pick up the recycle bottle and put it in the can. It's our responsibility to love them. It's our responsibility to share the gospel. It's our responsibility to love people where they are and talk to them about the goodness of God. I didn't get here. I was raised in an apostolic home, but I didn't get here because of being raised had a lot to do with it. But the Lord, there were many of people in the church that talked to me. They didn't condemn me. They didn't judge me. When I came in, they hugged me. I didn't always want to be hugged, but they hugged me. I didn't want to be touched, but they would touch me. Right? I mean, let's be real, right? I didn't want that agape love. I didn't want any of that. I just was here. I was here. But because of that love that people were showing me, people that were not even my biological family were loving me. They connected to me. They spoke life into my life, even when I didn't want to hear life. Even when I didn't want their love, they gave me love. They were showing me Jesus. I want to be Christ-like. And when I say Christ-like, I want to be Christ-like to one and all. To every man, every woman, boy and girl. I don't care if they're ethnic group. I don't even care if they're religion. I want to be Christ-like to them. I want to love them. I want to share the Word of God. If they will allow me, I want to share it. That's what I'm saying. I want to share it every time I get the opportunity. Father, only you can make us and mold us in the way to be what you need us to be in the kingdom of God. Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to share the gospel and sow more seed than I've ever sowed before in my life. I want to be an example to more of my neighbors and more of my friends and my family than I've ever been before. Lord, I want to keep a commitment to the house of the Lord, to share, a commitment to be willing to share and invite people to the house of the Lord. God, to do your will. Lord, we know you're coming back soon. God, I've got family that are hanging in the scales of heaven and hell. And Lord, I know that you already know that. So Lord, I want to help others. I know it's that I'm turned, that I'm being rejected by family, but God, I want to reach souls, so I'm going to reach souls for you, and I know you're going to take care of my family. I know you're going to take care of the children and the grandchildren. I know you're going to take care of my church family's family, and Lord, I know you're going to take care of their children are not saved, Lord God. I know you're going to do it as long as we do your will, Lord God, and that we are wise, oh God, in reaching souls, Lord God. I pray a blessing upon this congregation today, Lord God, that you encourage us, oh God, to be the salt and the light of this world. God, greater than we've ever been before. Lord God, that we'll witness to every nation, every soul, no matter what, Lord God, who or what they are, Lord God, that we would witness to them. God, I pray you birth a burden in us today. Deep down in my soul, deep down in the bodies of Christ's soul, God, that we cannot go a day without just smiling and greeting someone, showing them you, Lord God. As much as it might irritate us, God, they may irritate us, but God, help me to be more like you. Help me to show them your love. Help me to show them your mercy. Help me to show them your grace, oh God, and your love. I pray a blessing on this congregation today. This day. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship with us. After we're done worshiping, we'll pray over the food and we'll go to the basement fellowship. Thank you for being here today. Pray that something was said to encourage you. Amen.
I'll just say yes, you lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, my life. just say yes. You lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on.
We honor you today. We honor you today. I thank you for every nation that's represented here today, God. Thank you for every man, woman, boy, and a girl that are here, God. We ask many blessings upon them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for being here with us today. We're about to go and break bread with each other, and we're going to bless the food and the hands that have prepared it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and every ethnic group of food that is downstairs today. We ask you to bless our food, sanctify it to our body. Bless